The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I used to know everything, and as a know-it-all, I used to tell people everything I knew. I can remember, nearing the end of high school, following another boring hour at church, saying goodbye to my pastor, Pastor John Dinger, and saying, "You know, Pastor, I'm so excited to go to college in the fall. I'm just done with the Lutheran church. That's just it for me." And he, with a lot of grace, said, "Well, Tom, I'm sorry to hear that." Now, maybe you've heard versions of this in your own family. Perhaps your own kids have finally won the fight to stop coming to church, or at least to stop coming to a Lutheran church and find another flavor of Christianity. We at least want our kids to follow Jesus, to know God's call in their life. If it's not Lutheran, well, so be it. We'll live with it. But to know Jesus, to know his grace first and foremost, and to follow his call, and this is what we want. This is what we want for our children and for our friends, that as fishers of people, we would catch our kids following Jesus, and that one way or another, God's grace would be evident in their life. Now, last week, we also had a call story as we considered Jesus' call to the disciples at the beginning of John's Gospel. And again, today, we have the calling of the fishermen, James and John and Andrew and Simon Peter. And last week, Pastor Steve had us reflecting on how the call of God comes both to us personally. We sense God's call in our life internally. And then also God's call comes to us externally through the church or through other people who say, "I think God's calling you to this," or "I'm not so sure God's calling you to that." And in both these internal and external ways, God's voice is discerned among us. So now with another call story this Sunday, I want to think about our seasonal theme and about particularly how we respond to Christ's grace. How do we respond to Christ's call to us? And I want to do that by sharing a couple of stories from my own life and my own call, and also inviting you to consider your calling. Paul considered his calling when he wrote to the Corinthians in the first chapter of his first letter to the Corinthians. He says to the church, "Consider your calling, brothers and sisters. It is due to God that you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom for us from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that just as it is written, 'Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.'" So that's the plan for this morning, is to boast in the Lord, for he has called us to himself and to his ministry. So we're going to do this in three movements. First, the arresting word, and then the immediate word, and finally the living word. The arresting word. Our gospel begins with an interesting note. After John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming good news. It's quite the turn of events right there. John's arrested. I'm ready for good news. John's arrested, and now Jesus begins his ministry. Let's not miss what this means. First, there was an arresting word in John's life. It was the law and the king coming down on him and saying, "Your revivals are over. The baptisms of repentance at the river, those have all dried up, and they must end now." And John has come fully under the law as he sits in a prison cell, not from his own sins, but at the hands of others and their sins. This arresting word comes to John, and now all of a sudden Jesus says, "It's time. It's time. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Because Jesus always comes when we've been placed under arrest. Jesus always finds us in one prison or another. Jesus calls people who are imprisoned, whether that's a self-made prison, or if we've been thrown there by the sins of others, or by simply the unpredictability of life. This is where Jesus brings his liberating word. He finds us in prison. Jesus calls us after John's repentance in the river has dried off. Jesus calls us when we, in our own personal renewals, have said, well, that was fun for a while, but things have changed now. That was a nice time in my life. Jesus calls when our hope has been imprisoned. He calls, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe in the good news. And his word is itself an arresting word. His word grabs us. And his call to repent and believe is not an I can experience. It's much more an I can't experience. Repentance is not saying, I can do better, but it is experiencing, as we hear the word of God, I can't. I can't go on like this, or I can't see hope in this prison, or I can't go forward. And Jesus comes and calls us, and calls us to repent, and calls us to believe. Now, why did I tell Pastor Dinger what I told him when I was a high school graduate on my way out of the Lutheran Church? Well, part of the reason I told him what I had was because it wasn't my church that was there for me most strongly during some of the losses in my life. The last 3 years of high school was very difficult. I've shared about the death of my father before. I've shared about the divorce of my family. I've shared about moving from Seattle to Portland during that time and losing those supports. And for me, it was the ministry of Young Life, the evangelical outreach to teens and adolescents. It was that ministry that was the instrument God used to call me to Jesus, to bring me to himself. It was Young Life that brought me a supportive community and provided a place where I could process my grief and I could grow up a little bit as an adolescent. But I also remember this, as I started hanging out for the very first time with evangelical Christians, myself having been a lifelong cradle Lutheran, I began to get testimony envy because these kids would share about, once I was lost and now I'm found, was blind but now I see, once I was doing this and smoking that and hanging out here, and now Jesus has changed my life. And I began to be envious of this because I had always been a Christian. And so I began to realize, well, I was a Christian, but I wasn't sold out. I wasn't on fire. I hadn't actually given my life to Jesus. Sure, I'd been baptized and confirmed and raised in the church, but finally, I've got some lighter fluid on this fire. And it took me years to realize that that lighter fluid, that the fire ignited by that lighter fluid only kept burning because for my entire life, God had been placing logs and kindling and tinder carefully on the fire. It took me years of watching my peers, and then as I became a youth leader, watching kids I worked with, faith ignite and seemingly disappear. Commitments to Christ, and then next summer, a recommitment to Christ, and on and on and on. And I realized how fortunate I was for Pastor Dinger and the Lutheran Church for building a campfire that had some fuel that could burn for a long time. And thank God for Young Life for helping to ignite a fire. So I had this experience, and to me, the call of Jesus in Young Life was an I can experience. They say it's as easy as ABC. I admit I'm a sinner, I believe Jesus died for me on the cross, and I commit my life to following Jesus. I can give my life to Jesus. I can do these things, A, B, and C. Well, the second movement of this word this morning is to go from the arresting word to the immediate word. Because we watch and see what happens when Jesus calls these fishermen. More than once, Mark uses the word immediately. Things are happening immediately. Jesus calls them and immediately they drop their nets. Immediately he calls some others and they drop their father and leave him in the boat and leave behind the nets as well. Immediate literally means no mediator. It means no media. The guy's thing about no media is there's no fake news. There's no news at all. It is eyewitness. It's live. And it's good news. There is nothing between Jesus' word and the faith produced by that word in those who hear it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, it also took me years to learn this lesson, too. In fact, I had to be called to ministry as a Lutheran pastor in order to learn what the Lutheran Church had been teaching me for 25 or more years. I entered seminary and met with the candidacy committee. Pastor Steve talked last week about serving on the candidacy committee at a previous call. And I met with the candidacy committee for the very first time, and I said to them what I said to Pastor Dinger. I said, I feel called to ministry because I want to take my young life experiences and help the Lutheran Church figure things out. So I said this with a straight face. And then by the end of seminary, I went back to that same candidacy committee, and I said, well, I realize I've got the best of both worlds now. I entered seminary thinking I was going to teach the Lutheran Church something, as if I could. And I'm leaving seminary realizing that God has given me his gospel all along. And I can now take what I've learned from Young Life and take what I have learned from the Lutheran Church and seminary and believe I have the best of both worlds. And what really flipped it for me in my call, not simply to Jesus, but in my call to ministry, were these words from Martin Luther, from his catechism, his small catechism, the third article of the Creed, in speaking about, I believe in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Christian Church. Here's what Luther says. I believe that I cannot believe. He says, I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole church on earth. And daily and abundantly, the Holy Spirit forgives our sins. And on the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me up and give to me and all the believers life everlasting. I realized, partway through seminary, that the gospel and the call of Jesus is an I can't experience. I can't repent with my whole heart, even when I feel like I want to. I can't give my life to Jesus wholly and completely. I'm always holding something back. I can't make him the Lord of my life. But thanks be to God, before I gave my life to Jesus at Young Life Camp, Jesus gave his life for me. And before you were baptized or confirmed or were called by Jesus one way or another, Jesus gave his life for you, wholly and completely. He called you his own. I realized through one hard lesson or another that my decisions in life were going to be the death of me. But God's decision for me in Jesus is the life of me. That immediate word of Jesus, which I look and all of a sudden the nets have dropped. What I realized in this is that I had been ministering to young people, and I thought I was going to be ministering to grown-ups as well, in this way. What I thought was, here's my job. Take free people and bind them to Jesus. So when working with kids, how do you get a bunch of unruly teenagers to bind themselves to a youth group? Well, you have to make it fun. You have to make it interesting. You have to do something. So my preoccupation was, how do I bind free people to a program so that I can then further bind them to Jesus and, for the parents' sake, bind them to good, healthy decisions as they grow up? Well, this got flipped around. If I recognized that belief is an I can't experience, my preoccupation had to change. Instead of looking at people as free and trying to get them to commit to my program or my Jesus, what I recognized is the living and immediate and arresting word of God comes to us when we are not free, when we are imprisoned, by our own hand or by the hands of others, comes when John's under arrest or when our hopes have been dashed. And if that's where the word finds us, then the preoccupation of God's word is to set us free. The preoccupation is how to speak to people in their boundness, in our hopelessness, in our grief, in our losses, in our uncertainty, and then just get right in there with the gospel and say, you are free in Christ. Recognizing, this helps a lot to recognize that kids are not free. They're bound by broken homes and blazing hormones, that they are not free. But in Christ, they are free indeed. This immediate word of Jesus, being immediate, having no mediators, means there's no space, Jesus leaves no space for lesser gods between us and him in our heart. So the final movement is that this is a living word. This is a living word. This is not just a word that finds us under arrest to set us free. This is not just an immediate word that comes to us. This is a word that we can live by. Jesus calls us to himself so that he can call us into ministry to be fishers of people, as the fishermen learned, so that we can live by his word. It's not that Jesus called these fishermen and the rest was history and their life was an upward trajectory of following Jesus and leading the new church. I mean, all throughout the Gospels, Jesus has to bear the failure of his friends and the disbelief of his disciples. And ultimately, he has to bear the sins of the whole world on his cross. At one point, he actually looks to his quickly depleting crowd of disciples, and he says to the 12, are you going to leave me also? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the living word. Christ's arresting and immediate word is also the living word by which we go forward in faith and in hope and with love. And Jesus calls us as well, away from nets and away from fathers, not in order to leave hard work or family loyalty behind, but that in learning the yoke of Jesus, his easy yoke of grace and his gifts, in seeking first the kingdom of God, learning that all these other things will be added unto us, that in following Jesus immediately, God will also call us back to the nets, back to our fathers, into our callings as workers, as volunteers, as church members, as citizens, as members of families, as friends, as fishers of people. And God is with us in all this. God who called you is faithful, and he who has promised will fulfill his promises for you. God is with us in the challenges of our callings, how to be the church in the age of COVID, how to be family or friends in the time of great division. God is with us in these callings. Jesus' word arrests us to set us free. Jesus' word is immediate, so that with nothing between us and his promises, we can then go back into the work and into our lives with his power, with his grace. This is how we boast in the Lord, that when I can't, yes, Jesus can, and yes, he has, and yes, he will. He will continue to call us. His Spirit will continue to gather us at home or in this place. He will continue to enlighten us and keep us holy, keep us in the one true faith. And he will raise us and give to us everlasting life. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen.